the Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Brian David.
It's the Dork Podcast. Hashtag. It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Raymond Von Damon. He is Rhaenyra Von Daenerys. All hail the King of Ginger Ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
What's up, brother?
Oh, yeah, we're going with Meatwad.
No, that was a little... Well, I was trying to do like the hormone monster, and it came out a little too Meatwad on me.
They're similar, though. There's a lot. There's a big cross reference there between...
In the Venn diagram of voices, there's a huge middle circle for those two.
I haven't seen Big Mouth in a while, but I was kind of getting it at one point.
Yeah,
It's all good, baby.
That's pretty good.
Gotta go high.
It's all good, baby.
What a ridiculous character.
Ridiculous.
All the best. One of the all-time best. Ryan, we have an absolute pant load of stuff to get to today. I think that is the medical term. So,
pant load, yeah.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
How about this news that came out since our last episode, which is why it's in this segment of the show? Constantine with Keanu Reeves getting a sequel.
And we talked, I think we've talked about this, so I don't know how many times we're just like, why can't you just make a sequel to that movie? That movie is wildly underrated.
Criminally. I would agree with you. It is, and I think because it came out in what, 05? So it was sort of at a time where there had been the recent boom, and then there was a lot of shit in there, and it was hard to decipher, like, all right, what was good, what's not good. Like, I'm glad they made, you know, Fantastic Four and Ghost Rider and Daredevil and all these ones where you're like, and then this was kind of like slipped in there, and it's a DC character, but it's not really in the DC universe, really, and or at least this version of it, but. Yeah. He was good. The character's so cool. He's one of the coolest characters in all of comics. There needs to be more of this. I still have never seen the TV show, but I heard it was actually pretty good.
I've seen, and Lucifer is actually pretty good too.
Okay.
So that's, again, no, wait, Lucifer, I believe that's the Neil Gaiman, like Lucifer Morningstar one, but it's not, him and Constantine cross over a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this Rachel Weisz, Keanu Reeves, yeah. Tilda Swinton, you got Peter Stormare, that guy playing the devil. Awesome.
Yes. Great cast. Yeah. Yeah. The Constantine, TV show, that guy, also did some crossovers in the CW Arrowverse.
Yes.
And there's some episodes where the Green Arrow's like, all right, I got a guy, I'll call a guy. And then he calls in John Constantine. So the character's badass. There's a lot of really good comic books with Constantine, and whether he's crossing over with, you know, Sandman or Batman or whoever, it's always good. But Keanu Reeves was awesome, so I'm looking forward to, and this is pre him kind of coming back, like all the John Wick stuff has like launched him back up into being like, mega superstar. So I'm excited because we heard about all this shit that DC was like canceling and HBO was canceling and whatever the hell's going on there. So for them to greenlight Constantine, I'm pretty excited about.
And you know, like Keanu Reeves is such like this mythical creature too. Like he'll do this movie for a song just because he wants to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he does, you know, you've heard stories of him just like taking pay cuts so that other people can be in movies. And like, I don't really think he gives a shit about the money or the fame. He just like wants to do what he wants to do.
Seems like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
Like a pretty cool dude.
Cool customer.
That actually wouldn't be a bad... We have a lot of episodes, obviously, to do, and we've turned ourselves into a House of the Dragon podcast. However, Keanu Reeves movies would be a good episode. Yeah. It'd be tough to come up with, like, a top four or six.
It'll change by the day, but...
Yeah.
Man.
A lot of good ones.
Because you're like, oh, you name the four. I know the four you're going to name, and then you're going to be like, but you missed Speed. And then you're like, oh, right. Shit. And then you're going to do another four. And like, but you missed Youngblood. And you're like, ah, fuck. And you're like, oh, you missed Bill and Ted. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
Yeah. He's been in so many good movies.
So many goddamn good movies. Yeah. Love that guy. This Wednesday, Ryan, Andor comes out on Disney Plus. We've been talking about it for a while. The trailer looks good, even though it's not the most interesting character in the world. But three episodes come out on Wednesday. So I would say tentatively, this is likely to be a standalone episode once it's completed. We're not going to do it every week like this show we're doing now, but all the other Star Wars shows we've done, I think it's been more disappointment than enjoyment overall. But here we are. We love Star Wars.
The early responses to this is it's a fresh take on the Star Wars universe, because you kind of get these people who are, you know, real ham and eggers. These aren't like hotshot pilots or Jedi or whatever. It's just like boots on the ground, you know, people who live in like these shitty cities. So I'm interested to see where they go with that.
Yeah.
How this kind of play. Again, it's one of those stories. I know you know how it ends. So right. how it begins is pretty interesting to me as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Also coming out on the same day over on Netflix, if you enjoy serial killer stuff, then people do. I'm one of those people. It's it's a weird thing to admit to liking, but Jeffrey Dahmer. I think it's Ryan Murphy is doing the it's a series. It's a 10 episode series, and it is what's his name that's playing the fucking kid, Evan Peters, who is in like all the American Horror
Story, and
all that stuff. And at one point he was going out with Emma Roberts. Don't know if he still is or not, but he plays
Jeffrey Dahmer. Someone else too, which was odd.
He is or she is?
He was. I forget. Yeah. Anyway,
he was also a good Quicksilver in the X-Men universe.
Certainly was. Yeah, did you ever read that graphic novel, My Friend Dahmer?
No, you told me. I got to look that up. I got to see if that's on that
Hoopla. It's pretty interesting because, again, I've talked about it before, but it's from the perspective of like his high school friend. Like the guy was like, he's like, I was his friend as much as anyone could be his friend. Like we hung out with him, but like I wasn't like his friend. Like I wouldn't hang out with him alone, you know, but like, so it's kind of an interesting perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to watch that. Yeah. He was engaged to Emma Roberts, but they're no longer engaged. But anyway, I'll check that out. 10 episodes seems like a lot, but. I'll still give it a go.
That's a lot of Dahmer.
Dahmer. Yeah. Then it's like, hey, what are you watching over there? Oh, Dahmer. Dahmer. I may have told this story in the podcast, but this is like the first like serial killer I remember discussing. And I think it was actually friend of the podcast, Shark, was telling me like he had heard about it. And all I remember him saying was like, there's a guy in Milwaukee who's killed a lot of people and he eats them.
Yeah.
And as a like 8, 9, or 10 year old, you're like, what the fuck? And then like I associated Milwaukee with like a cannibal, just because that's like in my mind like what I was thinking. I'm like, so for the longest time I'm like, I'm not going to Milwaukee, like no thank you. It was scary. Scary stuff.
I'm trying to think of who the first serial killer I was like aware of. I mean, it's got to be like, I remember seeing Charles Manson on TV.
Oh really? Interesting.
Yeah, like I remember, you know, seeing him, or like there's like a parole hearing or something, and my mom being, I'm like, who is that? And, you know, she had to like explain to me who he
look
was
at this fucking
but
guy.
It's fucked because I think of him as a serial killer and he's not.
He didn't kill anybody,
right?
Actually,
yeah, so that's not a serial killer. It doesn't count.
Nope. So Jeffrey Dahmer was apprehended in 1991, so I would have been 7, and then he was executed, or he was killed or whatever, in 94.
Hey, he was killed in prison, right?
He was bludgeoned to death in prison by somebody else. So I was 10 when he died. So I either heard about it when he got caught or whenever. And so you're like, there's a Milwaukee cannibal. Anyway, I'll watch that when it comes out. Ryan, a series of movies came out over the weekend, or some got earlier releases. And I haven't seen any of these, but I have the Rotten Tomatoes, or the Rotty T's, and audience scores.
Mm-hmm.
First, Clerks 3, early reviews, 65% critics, 94% audience. Where do you stand on that?
You know exactly where the fuck I stand on this. This is bullshit.
Can't wait to see it.
No, I don't want anything to see. Like, it's just so dumb. Like, I'm over it. I'm over it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm fucking over it.
And so I tweeted that out. And I think it it might have been Sam on Twitter said, yeah, that looks good. Like the audience score, except for the fact that Jay and Silent Bob reboot also got like a 90s by the audience.
And they said Licorice Pizza had like a 97% audience.
I've never seen it though.
That movie's fucking trash. That movie stinks. Stinks.
Yeah. I'll definitely see Clerks 3 when it's out. I'm not going to spend any of my hard-earned
money. Let's do a standalone. I'll see that movie.
Hate see Clerks 3.
I will hate see it. We'll do a dink on it. I'll hate see Clerks 3.
Clerks 3 dink.
Yeah.
A movie I am interested in, but apparently it's in theaters, and I don't understand how quickly they turn this fucking thing around. So we both saw the movie X, which came out in theaters early in the year, and it was a really pretty cool horror movie. I didn't love it, but it was good. Mm-hmm. Like I would recommend it. And then they're like, oh, they're going to make a prequel about one of the characters called Pearl. I'm like, well, that's a great idea. Well, that movie's already out.
So like, do you think they already shot some of that footage, like flashback footage, and just didn't use it? So they had like a quarter of the movie done, and then we could just like crank that out?
It must have. Because that's insane, right? How quick that came out.
Because they did do some, it's an older character in the movie, if you haven't seen it. So I,
yeah.
And they did do some flashback scenes, so I wonder if they had that already in the can.
87% and 81% on Rotten.
I'm excited. Have you seen this other one too? What's it called? Barbaric.
Or Barbarian. I have not watched
something
not,
like that. With Justin Long it. In it or something like that.
I want to see that.
I mean, that's like 97, 94.
I want to see that one so bad.
Oh,
I know.
Is it Barbarian? Is that the name of the movie?
It begins with a B and it's one word. Let me go to Roddy T's right now. See what they're hollering at.
See if right I beat now. You. We're racing right now.
Barbarian.
Yeah. It's the one that's 90, like, there's like a tunnel like under the house or something like that.
Yeah, 92%. Yeah. Audience is down to 70%.
Ah, fuck them. You know, those critics people don't like horror movies.
Traveling to Detroit for a job interview, a young woman books a rental home. But when she arrives late at night, she discovers that the house is double booked and a strange man is already staying there. Against her better judgment, she decides to spend the evening, but soon discovers that there's a lot more to fear than just an unexpected house guest. Bill Skarsgård is in it. Georgina Campbell, Justin Long. Mm. Yeah, it's on the preview for this. I've not obviously seen the movie yet. The Woman King with Viola Davis. This looks like just action and chaos. 95% and 99%.
Have you read about this movie, though?
No.
It was trending yesterday. Do you know why?
I saw the trailer. I did not know that it was even trending.
Oh, it was trending yesterday. So apparently, Viola Davis plays this queen, this, what do they call it? The woman king of like this West African tribe. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, she stands up against like the European slave traders and like wins this battle and blah, blah, blah. Turns out, Rich, that actually didn't happen. And that woman then, there was something to have to do with like palm oil. Like they were trying to trade like palm oil with these European settlers. They found out they need, and I'm paraphrasing basically, but basically her family then becomes very much involved with the European slave traders and is responsible for people getting shipped to Europe and the United States. Not great.
Oh man.
Not so great.
They made this whole movie like making her and the whole tribe look like
they're awesome. Yeah. And the movie was written by two white women and nobody bothered to check on whether or not it was factually accurate.
Bro, oh my God. So does Viola Davis have to stop doing like press for the movie now? That's
crazy. She was getting like Oscar buzz and now people are like,
that's nuts. I didn't hear that. I just saw the trailer and I remember being like, this looks pretty sick. And then I got good reviews early on. That is wild.
Yeah. So the woman who's portrayed in that movie, her family is like directly responsible for like a large part of like the slave trade.
Yikes.
Yeah. Not great.
No.
You don't love to see that.
Also, according to
the critics, nicer things. Yeah.
Well, speaking of not great, though, apparently, according to the critics, I still want to see this. Haven't yet. It's really long movie, but the Ana de Armas Marilyn Monroe movie that we discussed is out on Netflix. It's rated NC-17, called Blonde. Currently 59% critics, 43% audience. Now, there's a story about this, though, that my wife was telling me, is that they were filming it like on locations, like either Marilyn Monroe's actual house or like places that Marilyn Monroe used to be. And they were convinced it was haunted. And you could tell like when something that Marilyn Monroe liked, like there was a certain vibe in there. And then when it wasn't, like things would move around and like there was like a real kind of presence on set. And they think it was Marilyn Monroe.
Do you hear this like tippy tappy right here?
Is that Marilyn Monroe?
It's not. It's not Marilyn Monroe walking in high heels.
Is it a little dog? Hope it's your guy.
Look at this guy.
Look at this son of a bitch.
Look at this guy. He's doing his tippy taps in there. That's him sniffing.
What say? Oh, what That's a it. Handsome devil.
Look at him. Good boy.
Oh, he's the nicest guy.
I'll tell you what he doesn't like. He doesn't like being picked up.
No.
Oh. He's not like that. Yeah.
Errol likes it. He just like, he could fall asleep. He's like,
nope.
Really doesn't like it.
He's doing his tippy tap feet on my hardwood floors. He's a handsome. He never comes in here. I don't know what he's doing.
He's like, huh? Well, do you ever know? We got some T-stomps. We got T-stomps here.
It was. Oh yeah, that's probably it. Isn't like the Thunder.
They like T-stomps. A quick email of the episode. You can email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. This one comes in from Connor. He says, good morning, fellas. And that's just as a reminder. You can email us anytime. It could be your morning, your late at night. Maybe you can't sleep. Mm-hmm. Shoot us an email. He says, as the title of the email says, first time reaching out, but a longtime fan. I just finished The Leftovers after a recommendation from the podcast. Absolutely loved it. Did you guys ever do an episode on it? Also, I'm curious if you have ever seen Top Gun Maverick. I am a Florida transplant from New England. Listening to the podcast reminds me fondly of home. Keep on keeping on.
So we are reversed on this, right?
Yep, we are.
So you have seen The Leftovers.
I love The Leftovers. One of my all-time favorite shows. Davey,
I have not seen it. I have seen Top Gun Maverick and fucking loved it. And you haven't seen it.
No. I'll see that by the end of the year. It gives me 3 months because we'll do our year end best of the year type stuff. And I know I need to see Top Gun.
You know what I loved about Top Gun? My wife put out like this, like really good point. She's like, I was fascinated by this movie because anytime two characters were talking to each other, there was a pretty decent chance that they would kiss. It didn't matter who it was. It didn't matter. It was just like, whoever's talking to each other, they're that close to each other. They might kiss.
I like it.
Yeah.
You just never know. Could be anybody, could be any time.
That is a good question.
That is
by the way, good question. Yeah. This is impromptu. We haven't done this yet. I do have a very quick, should I have bought this?
Oh, you do?
But let's fold it into the video game minute though, because it has to do with that.
Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, real quick correction, and thanks to Mr. Monroe in the chat. Blonde is in theaters right now. It's not on Netflix until September 28th. So that's how the reviews are out. People have seen Blonde, but it's not on Netflix. End of the month. So I'll watch that at the end of the month. But here we go. What do you got?
So the big news we have is that there was leaky footage of Grand Theft Auto 6, which Rockstar then came out today and said that it was in fact a pre-build. It's like very, very early footage of the game, which looked very good. Now people were speculating that this was like a really good fake because people have been doing some really good things with the new Unreal Engine. They're just like trying to think some things out. But this was, Rockstar did come out today and say that they did have some sort of breach and that they were very disappointed that this footage got leaked and it was not like any working build of the game. It was just like pre-footage. What was interesting is that you have your very first playable female character.
Love it.
Which I'm very excited about. Mm-hmm. And someone sniped there. It does, in fact, take place in Vice City. I think it's Vice City. Because they had like the Vice City VCPD on like the back of a cop car. So it was her holding up what looked to be like a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. Then her out in the street shooting guns. One of the best memes or videos I saw on Twitter over the weekend when all the Grand Theft Auto stuff was coming out was Queen Elizabeth. When she finds out Grand Theft Auto 6 is really coming out and it was the Undertaker coming out of the coffin.
I saw one. It was the map. It was the leaked map of Grand Theft Auto 6, but it was just a biology dingus.
Yeah.
Like in the biology textbook. But it had like the veins and everything were like the streets. I thought that was pretty funny.
Sad Dom.
So we haven't done this. Dude, Overwatch comes out in like 3 weeks. Overwatch 2 comes out in like 3 weeks and they dropped a new character. So a new healer named Kiriko, not to be confused with Kumiko from Karate Kid Part 2.
Yeah.
But a new healer, it's got a little fox buddy, you know, does some cool like foxy things. I'm into it. I've much embraced the healer role as of late. What, you've played some healer. Now let me ask you some Overwatch related questions. Who is your like go-to character?
So it changed early on in the game. It was Junkrat and I was fine with Junkrat. And then I morphed into a much better team player as Lucio.
Yeah. And I have become a much better team player as well. I either go tank, I go tanky panky, or I go heels O'Neils. So I don't know. Now here's the Overwatch question. I think everybody wants to know, Richard, every time you see this character across the battlefield, who are you like, ah, shit, who's the one you hate to see the most?
Oh, good question. I haven't played the game in forever. I would say a really, really good tracer would drive me fucking up a wall because I couldn't even see her.
It's one of the pokers. For me, it's always Genji. If the other team has a good Genji, like, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those, I can't figure out.
That's a good one.
What to do with it. And it's so goddamn hard to hit that little guy.
Oh, son of a bitch. I don't know.
So there's that. So new Zelda footage. Did you see this? Are you aware of this?
I am aware of this.
Tears of the Kingdom or Tears. So there was a speculation whether it was Tears or Tears, and it turns out it could be both. But the footage of this looks amazing. It's all sky stuff. So you're doing like crazy jumps off of platforms. The artwork is absolutely amazing. I'm very excited to play this. This is, I don't know if it's a direct sequel or like the spiritual sequel to Breath of the Wild, but it looks amazing.
Nice.
And so here, hit the.
I'll just go forever.
So yeah, we'll just go quickly. So we did get, you tweeted it out, and then I tweeted it out like immediately after without looking at yours. The trailer for Tekken 8, right? So we got Tekken 8 coming along with Street Fighter 6. Now, these games look incredible. You and I, so this is like, should I have bought this? And do you want this smoke news, which you don't have a sounder for?
Let's see if these moves fuck.
Let's see if this fucks. Ready? So I don't know, because I would ask you directly, do you want this smoke? And normally you would say yes. But I bought myself something that I've wanted for a very long time. And I want to share it with the people right now. And I'll let the people in the chat guess how much this costs. Richard, will you describe this?
Davey is holding what can only be considered an absolute ginormous controller with 8 buttons. Well, really 10 buttons on it. Yep. That is enormous. And that is the size of a Trapper Keeper.
So it's about the size of an old Nintendo, like an original NES.
Yeah.
Notice this too.
So that's a joystick. I couldn't tell. That's a joystick on top, and then 8 buttons to the right.
So this is what is called a professional modular fight stick. So it is basically a connected, or can be Bluetooth.
Wow.
Just a huge controller just for fighting games. And I play a lot of fighting games in my spare time. It has transformed the way I play. And dare I say, it's a bit of an advantage.
Is a huge advantage.
All right. So Throwing that out there.
Now, I don't want the smoke in Street Fighter, but
No one ever wants that from me.
I would gladly encourage the smoke in Tekken. I'm good with that. So you spent on that item 4 easy payments of... No, you spent all in $129.99.
You're close.
Okay.
You're close. With taxes and fees. With taxes and fees and... it was Amazon Prime. So it was no shipping. $110.
$110.
This is how we do it.
You hit it before we could ask the chat, but I don't count because I already did buy it. So like that's, you know, but it's not $600.
No,
but this thing is like metal. This thing is solid as shit. Look, it does the clicky clacks.
I like the sound of that.
Love it.
Pretty good. Pretty good, right?
Mechanical buttons, and that's your Davey's Video Game Minute.
Love it.
Y'all ready for bisque?
Topic is your time, Rye.
I'm sorry, I was just putting my controller down.
What time it is. It's time to bring in Dem Thrones, boys. What up, Shime?
What up? We about to beat the piss out of this episode, boys.
Shime, would you buy a professional fight stick for fighting games if you played them?
Yeah, like if I played them regularly, sure.
Yeah. Did you see the one you were backstage? Did you see that?
Sure did.
That Mamma Jamma?
It's pretty lit.
It's pretty sweet, right?
Pretty nice.
Pretty sweet. Maybe I'll stream some of my training because I do a lot of training.
Sure. Streaming right here on the YouTube.
Friend of the show, Corey Mitchell, was once like top 10 in the world in Mortal Kombat 9. So there you go.
Wow. Woo! Who is this guy?
He had like a 70% combo with Cyrax, I believe.
Oh,
we did have some good Cyrax talk in the chat.
He tried to teach me. I couldn't do it.
No, it's too much. Yeah, that's a lot going on. But we're not here to talk about Mortal Kombat 9, although that would be pretty entertaining. Aren't we though? That's true. But House of the Dragon, episode 5. The episode was entitled We Light the Way, the official halfway point of season 1 House of the Dragon. We'll do just real briefly spoiler free. The rest of it will be all spoilers. Shime, Best episode, worst episode, or just another episode?
I say this was the best episode so far.
Yeah.
I have written in my copious notes, the very first thing, best episode of the season.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. And I think, first of all, anytime you have a wedding in Game of Thrones, the anticipation for it to be the best episode is through the roof. And I think it lived up to it without just copying from other weddings. It did kind of its own thing, but the hype that it was tense, like, throughout.
Oh,
like,
and that was the
high.
Yeah. That was the best part, because as the characters are kind of doing that thing that people do in whodunits, where they're all like looking at each other, the music is kind of building.
Yep.
And the crowd is kind of swelling. So you're like, something fucking's going to happen. I don't know what, but some shit's going to pop off like right now.
And it was great. What happened, I didn't really expect to happen, right? Like, as it was going on, I was like, oh, this over here might, and then something different happened. Also, it is the last episode before the 10-year jump. So Rhaenyra and Alicent specifically are getting actress swaps. But for 5 episodes, I thought both were great. I don't know if I've seen either one in anything ever before, but I thought both were really, really good. And I think the next two that are taking their place kind of have big shoes to fill here.
And so I think the Valyrians are getting time jumped as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
makes sense.
Yeah, I think those are two. Like, they're like BBC actresses who do like BBC television stuff. So if you're not into that stuff, you probably haven't seen them in anything. But you said they're not kids. They're like 20, but still.
Yeah,
they're
19, 20, but still.
That girl who played Rhaenyra has got a future ahead of her. Like,
I even think the girl that played Alicent, like, really started to turn it on, like, the last couple episodes. Like, early on, she was just kind of there, but the last couple episodes, she has made her presence known.
Yeah, she had a lot more to do. And I also think, through now 5 episodes, so bigger sample size, Ryan, we were talking about this after the first 2 or 3. For anybody who was like a little hesitant to be like, do I want to commit time to more Game of Thrones? I think the answer is yes. I think it has to be yes. It's an awesome world. There's cool stories. Even though we know how it's going to end 200 years from now, we don't really, like, especially if you didn't read the books, like, you don't know what's really going to happen with these characters. So,
and they could change it. I mean, they did that in the show. Like, they changed what happened. So.
Yeah. And what they've done so far has been, like, it's different enough where it surprises you. Like, I was surprised by this episode. And they've changed a couple of things, they've tweaked it, they're telling their own story, and you kind of heard that too, like in the post show thing, like one of the showrunners was like, I read into this one moment and was like, there's some subcontext here, so we're gonna fill it in.
Good point. All right, anything else non-spoiler?
Let's just get to it. Let's go balls deep into this thing.
Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. Here come the spoilers!
And so this is exactly what Sean was talking about in the post episode little discussion there with the directors and the writers and things, is we meet Daemon's wife. So we had heard about Daemon's wife, Lady Rhea Royce of Runestone. Great name.
How about that for alliteration, huh?
That's fantastic. So we meet her. She's not exactly what we were told. So once again, Daemon, a bit of a liar, no surprise. But he confronts her, or he sees her. And I guess in the book, what happens, Shime, right, is that you just find out that Lady Royce fell off of a horse.
Correct.
But there was a detail in there that her face was smashed. And so they're like, Daemon definitely did this, right? Like,
So George R. R. Martin never mentions that Daemon had anything to do with it, but it's like, because why would he say her spine was crushed and so was her head?
Yeah. Like, so a lot of Fire and Blood is kind of left open for, you know, you to read into it. And this was one of those instances, and the showrunner was like, oh, Daemon absolutely killed her. And so it's not written in the text, but it's inferred in that way. And I think that's a great addition by the showrunners.
And that was a great, they mentioned in that thing, it was a great little like short film. It was a great little like vignette that they did.
Yep.
And he's a scary motherfucker. Like that just like a soulless like stare that he was just looking at her the whole time.
And he's got the hood up and he's just standing in the path, like waiting for her. And she's like, husband. And like, she herself is kind of a badass, right? Like, she's not one of these like just stay in the house kind of thing. She is a hunter and she's out there doing her thing. And she fucking jabs him with the line right before he comes back to kill her. Cause he, is about to kind of leave her for dead, or at least that's what it looks like. And she drops the, I knew you couldn't finish, which is just more confirmation that I think the thing with Rhaenyra, like, I just don't think he's a guy that gets hard on.
You don't think his peck is working or something?
Well, I think it's, he can't do it unless he's in full control, right? Like, he has to have total control of the situation.
He's like Dennis Reynolds.
Otherwise, he is as impotent as it comes.
What would be the Damon system then? Like the
Dennis, I don't know. We have to figure it out. But to me, like, good for her. What a great last line. And I think if I'm her, like, if my whole life is like hunting and like riding horseback and whatever, I'm going to say whatever I got to say just to have you like $1 million baby me right there. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to do this. Like, he does that thing where he like steps on her arm to make sure like it doesn't, there's no feeling there.
Yeah.
And I think she's like, just kill me. Just get it over.
She's like, by the time somebody comes and finds me anyway, I'm going to get eaten by a goddamn,
this fucking wolf's going
to
eat me or something.
Whatever the fuck. We also get Viserys traveling to Driftmark. So we get a look at Driftmark here, and he's going to ask Corlys Velaryon if his son, Laenor Velaryon, will marry Rhaenyra. But
basically begging them.
Right. Yeah. So it's once again kind of making him look like a weak king. First of all, he gets seasick while he's out on the boat. Now he's dealing with a lot of shit anyway, but he's throwing up on the boat. Yeah, go ahead.
So I was going to say, so this episode tackled three of my biggest dislikes in the short amount of time. As you know, my great Achilles heel is I do get seasick. I hate boats.
Tough.
I don't like horses and crowds.
Oh, you'd be terrible in Westeros. Oh,
this is the anti-Davy episode.
This was like the anti-me episode. Like, wow. I also get wildly seasick every time I even stand on a boat.
So you couldn't be a Valyrian, obviously. Nope. You also couldn't be a Greyjoy. Weren't the Greyjoys on the water a lot?
Yes. Yep.
You couldn't be, we know you couldn't be a Martell.
You know exactly who I would be. We're just beating around the bush.
Stark.
I would much rather be cold. I'm a Stark.
You'd have to be a Stark. Or
to me, who is the, the other family that's in the north with them? Little girl was the queen.
Oh, the Mormonts.
I would be a Mormont, probably.
Yeah.
A bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
For multiple reasons, not just the way I look, but also just in that.
So Viserys is getting seasick on there. He looks like shit. He shows up and Corlys isn't even there. And they're like, you're not even going to meet the king. And they're like, oh yeah, no, he's getting ready for you. And then he like goes in there. He's like coughing, huffing and puffing. And he gets in there. And then he asks for the hand of Rhaenyra. But then immediately Corlys is like, all right, well, what's the deal? Like, who's in charge? What's the path of the thing? But it's like, I don't know if we've ever seen a king almost like beg as much as we have with this one here. Kind of a mess.
Yeah, and it really showed you the power dynamic as Viserys is walking into the room and Corlys is just still sitting on his little throne. And he's like, I'm not in any rush to get up for you. And it takes him a couple beats to take a knee. And then Viserys is the one that has to acquiesce when it comes to the children of Laenor and Rhaenyra and be like, yeah, they get to keep the Valyrian name until they ascend the throne. Then they become Targaryens. And it was just like a whole mess.
Yeah, he's like making deals with them. It's like, what else? What other kind of deals does he have? Like, you would think the Targaryens would have the bigger stick in this situation, but they don't.
Which is weird, too, because after the fact, like, Corlys talks to his wife, Rhaenys, and he's like, yeah, like, you got screwed out of the throne. I just want our children to have what you never did. So if that's the case, then why does your last name matter at all? She's a Targaryen. Like, right. Why does your last name matter at all? If that was the case, if you were being honest, and that was actually the case, you wanted to do this for your wife, why does your last name matter? She's a Targaryen. And so
she didn't seem to care either. She was like,
She was worried because now her kids are going to be at risk.
That's the thing in which we find out pretty quickly, too. She's like, you're kind of putting a bullseye on his back. And we'll get to what happened with his love interest here coming up. But we also get Otto Hightower getting out of there because the last episode he was booted out from being Hand. Now he talks to his daughter, Allison, who's the queen, on their way out. And essentially, Otto says, you got to be careful. Because if Rhaenyra ends up taking over for Viserys, she's going to kill your kids. And she has no choice but to kill your kids. First of all, Davey, do you believe Otto that that's exactly what Rhaenyra would do?
So immediately as they're having this conversation, and this is, I'm going back to Breaking Bad, there's a conversation with Mike and Walter, the whole no half measures conversation.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Otto is telling Allison. He's like, you either have to beg her to let your kids live, or you have to get this kid ready to take her out. So you can't do both. Like, you can't, there's no way for this to go both ways. Yeah. Like, you need to pick a road and go. And she does. I didn't know the whole backstory, but once you get into like the post-show stuff, then it starts to make a little bit more sense as to what she was doing. But it was pretty brilliant on her part.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, you would think, oh, they can like work it out. But I guess what Otto's saying makes sense. And he's, from a lot of the characters that we've seen so far, Shyam, he's probably more of a historian just because he's been there long enough, right? He has seen different people in power and sort of the fallout each time. So he probably does have, like, he doesn't think he's deceiving her. Like, he really probably feels this way.
Oh, he absolutely feels this way. But at the same time, this is also a situation he created. He had his daughter seduce the king. He manipulated the king to get to this point. He made sure that his grandson was really kind of technically the rightful heir. And so he has put himself and his family in this position. Right. But now it's just a matter of following through.
But he also thought he was going to be there to see the whole thing through. So now he's not. Now he has no control over it. So
that's what that's the other part of me is like, is he just mad at Rhaenyra? And I'm sure he is mad, but like, so Rhaenyra is the one that got Otto out of there, right? She played the move where their dad got Otto pushed out. So is Otto just saying this to sort of try to get back at her in a way? Or is he just worried about his daughter, you think?
I think he's actually worried about his daughter because, like, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, fathers don't actually tell their kids they love them in this world. Like, it's not really a thing you do. But this is his way of showing her that he cares about her and that her and her son matter to him. And that's kind of the best way he can do it.
So we also get a scene on the boat where Sir Criston Cole basically shoots a shot and goes up to Rhaenyra and he's like, we could just get out of here right now. And she's like, what, dude?
And that never works.
It's so funny because in the books, the jester Mushroom is a great character, claims that this happened the other way around, that Rhaenyra tried to tell Criston Cole, let's run away. But in the show, they're doing it vice versa, which I think is really cool.
I like that.
So is Mushroom the guy banging on the drums?
No, Mushroom doesn't exist in the show. He's basically like an unreliable narrator from the books.
Oh, okay. Good character. Hopefully they bring him in.
I love him.
You also get Viserys finally returning home. And then like as soon as he does, he like wipes out again. Like this guy is not doing well. And I'll tell you, and we're jumping around just a second here. If they didn't show him in the preview for the next episode, you could have thought maybe he died at the end of this episode. Like he was such a mess. He passed out like three times and he's just looking so old. He's looking so bad. But again, they show you a preview. So he somehow makes it another 10 years, which
here's a Fitzy poll. And I know Fitzy's not listening. He looks like David Lopan from Big Trouble in Little China. That's a deep pull for me, but he doesn't look good. But I tell you, I love just a gnarly, stinky skin condition.
When he's laying there in the chair and his arms just out, and at first I thought he had grayscale, and then I'm like, is that just pus?
It's just putrid. I tell you, there are two types of people in this world, right? There are people who love the show, Dr. Pimple Popper, and fucking liars. If you don't, you're a liar.
I hate
that show. It's amazing. You guys are so dead wrong. No, I love that show.
It grosses me out.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
No, Davey, for sure. As somebody who went to high school with Davey, back when, you know, zits were a common thing.
Let me get it.
One guy, let me get in there.
Let me get it. I'll get it.
I just fucking leave it.
Gnarly one on his shoulder. I'll get it.
Let me get in there.
Don't touch me.
I don't want that.
I want it.
Create a huge wound. I don't want it. So then you get a really interesting scene where Allison talks with Sir Criston Cole. So Criston Cole, major character in this episode, very clearly, and he has a bit of a guilty conscience, and that's part of the conversation he has with Rhaenyra, where he's just like, I don't want to be like your whore. Also, like, I had an oath and all this shit, and I broke it. So Allison goes to talk to Criston Cole because Allison found out about the tea. Right, because who was that fucking guy, Shyam? That painter? Was
so the guy talking to her was Larys Clubfoot, the son of Lionel Strong.
Got it. Yeah, Clubfoot over there. He was whispering in her ear about the tea.
So old she's short, like, old short long there.
So she is now convinced that, like, she did sleep with Damon. That's what she thinks. Allison has no idea about Sir Criston Cole. So she goes to him and is like going around and around and around and around. And then Cole's like, yes, it's true. He's like, we made love. And you're like,
no, it's like he did the thing. Was it in Liar Liar when he gets out of the elevator? It was me.
That's what I was like, dude, you didn't need to go there.
You didn't need to do that, man. Now,
as soon as Cole reveals the truth and he's like, hey, can you just kill me? Basically, he's like, don't, just kill me straight up. And she's like, what the fuck?
So the last guy to the last Night's Watch guy prior to him to have sex with women, it was a guy who had, like, mysteriously had three separate families while being a member of the Night's Watch. And when the king found out, he cut off his cock and sent him to the Night's Watch.
Not nice. Oh, so he turned into Grey Worm.
Yes.
Not the worst punishment I've seen for deflowering somebody you weren't supposed to, but that's another story for another time.
Cock cut off?
Worse. So again,
it's worse.
So the penalty for in ancient Rome.
Here we go.
Even the Romans are Greeks. I could do it before you even hit the button, right?
I wasn't prepared.
Or even the Romans are Greeks.
That's a pretty good impression I just did too. I'm proud of that. I
nailed it.
I've heard it so many times. But the punishment for deflowering a Vestal virgin is you were put into a big burlap sack, and you're Richard. This will curdle your blood with a dog, a monkey, a rooster, and a snake. And not only if that weren't bad enough, you were then thrown into the river. So as you were drowning, you would be being ripped to shreds by all of those animals.
You're going to have problems, just like everything else. But stay positive and stay strong.
Even the Romans are Greeks. Yeah.
So that'd be number one. Then getting this one off would be two.
Got it.
Probably.
Got it.
How do they stop the bleeding on that, by the way? Not to go down the whole medical road, but if they just lopped it off, they just like pack it with gauze or what do you do?
Burn it.
Oh
yeah.
Cauterize, baby.
You're going to have problems. We were talking about and thinking about doing a worldwide documentary because there is cosplaying across the United States and the globe. Even though we live in Massachusetts and it's kind of a Puritan town, there are cosplayers that are in Germany, cosplayers that are in France, cosplayers in England. And, you know, even in Germany, kids will dress up in cosplay and go to classes in cosplay.
Yeah, that happened to Reek, right? Reek got his dinky Reek. Cut off.
Oh yeah. Ramsey's got it, right? Ramsey's
cut
off him. Yeah, yep. So Varys and Grey Worm and Reek, all cockless, right?
Yep.
Anybody else?
And you said Grey Worm, right?
Well, all of the Unsullied. All of the Unsullied.
Right, but he's the only one with like a name. But yeah, everybody else. Just all of them, no cocks, so.
Tough.
So he's in. So he's in the new Interview with the Vampire show. Not to get too off track, but
I don't have any interest in that. You know me, I love the Draculas, but
you love a good Dracula show.
I have no interest in that show.
No, I think they're leaning too hard into the Lestat. Was it Lestat and Remy relationship?
Yeah,
when it's a little bit bigger than that. I feel like the books were bigger than that. But anyway,
probably now. All right. So the moment Allison hears Cole's confession, what at that moment do you think is racing through her mind?
That he's now an asset to her. So I know this about you. I'm not going to say anything, but you are going to do everything I say. And you're going to keep an eye on her. You're going to make, you know what I mean? Like, so you're now my guy.
100%. I think Davey nailed it. Like, she knew. She's like, oh, my father's not here. I have to start to do this myself. This is my first piece on the board. This is my first knight on the chessboard that I have in my pocket that I can use at my disposal.
I think she's also kind of in an interesting spot because on the one hand, she was the one that was saying, she's like, I believe Rhaenyra when she says she didn't bang Daemon. And Otto is like, listen, I got a good source that said she did. And he's like, and then that's why they had their little back and forth there. But she's like, so on the one hand, she didn't lie to her about Rhaenyra or about Daemon.
She did not. But
she's probably pissed that she didn't then confide in her about Sir Criston Cole.
Yeah, she kind of twisted it a little bit on her.
Twisted it a little bit, but I think that's
also we just kind of glossed over it, but I'm very curious how Larys Clubfoot knew that she got the tea.
Yeah.
Like, unless he is a Hightower guy, which it doesn't seem like he is, mm-mm, he then, that means, has someone in the building that's talking to him. And like, in like, he is renowned as being one of those people where he doesn't speak very much and he's a listener. And he's like, he becomes a master of whisperers, more or less.
Was he Varys?
Yeah, he's like, he is the Varys from 300 years prior. Yep. Like, he just hears everything. That's why at the tournament a couple episodes ago, you see him sit with the women because he just wants to sit and listen. He doesn't want to actually talk.
But so, does he have a good relationship with his father?
Larys Clubfoot?
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, his brother and his father are all kind of in a good spot.
Okay. And so, like, and now, so he'll be one of his informants. So everything that Clubfoot knows, we'll assume that the Hand of the King knows.
Yep.
And it's a matter of how much does the Hand. What do you think the Varys or Viserys, excuse me, the King and this current Hand, how do you think that relationship is compared to what it was with Otto?
Well, they talk about it a little bit, and right towards when he's has his arm out and he's being all gross, he asked him something about like how the history books would remember him. And he gives him like an honest answer. He's like, look, you kept something, your father, like your, was your grandfather, whoever it was, you kept his uncle, that going.
I think technically.
And he's like, you know, they probably won't, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, you know, they're probably not going to sing any songs about you. And he was like, you know, anyone else would have told me, like made me like feel better, and you didn't. He's like, no, my bad. He's like, no, I appreciate it. So he told him the truth.
Yeah, that was definitely honest of him. And he's like, yeah, like the land is doing well right now, and everybody's doing pretty well. And he's like, because he's like, oh, I wish I was tested more. I'm like, dude, then you would be done. You'd be out.
You wouldn't make it.
If you were in a battle, you'd be smoked in a battle. Like, you're not one of those type of kings.
Nope. It's one of those trust fund kids who's always looking for a fist fight until he gets punched in the nose. And then you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, they're clearly not friends, but like, he's strong as a good ally to have because he's not going to bullshit you. Like, he's going to give it to you straight and you kind of go from there.
But he's now, also not you, working another thing, right? Like, he's not going to backstab him. At least to correct. This point, it doesn't look like he's going to.
Now, if you're picking your own Hand of the King, do you go someone who's a close confidant or do you go someone who isn't, but you respect their opinion?
I think this is the right choice. I think someone who's going to...
No, I'm talking about you personally.
Oh, yeah. Me personally? I would probably choose my buddy because I want to hear what I want to hear. Especially if I'm the king, I want to hear what I want to hear. I don't want to hear the truth probably 90% of the time. So I would probably be more apt to put my buddy next to me or my brother or somebody I can control than anybody else.
Yeah. I would want somebody that, not necessarily that I'd want to hear like, oh, how great I am, but just somebody that I know if I tell them something that it wouldn't get out. Like, I would want that kind of confidant. And I think, like, when Robert Baratheon chose Ned Stark, well, that was also good because of fucking his power, too.
The whole thing, yeah.
But, like, I think somebody like that is...
But they were like... But, yeah, I mean, for me, I think it would be someone that, like, I knew wouldn't lie to me.
Yeah, yeah. That's the key. That's the key to the whole thing.
You know, telling me what I want to hear is kind of lying to me. If I ask you a question, you tell me... It's not dishonest, but something that like I know you're just blowing smoke up my ass. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah, that doesn't help you. And eventually that'll get snuffed out and you'll be in trouble. Mm-hmm. All right, let's jump to the royal wedding time. So you get Rhaenyra versus Sir Laenor Velaryon. And at this point, the episode was good prior to this, but this is where it kicks up a notch. And so you have the whole thing, the whole pomp and circumstance and all the tables and everybody at the head of the table. But it's just kind of weird because like the queen's not up there yet. You're just kind of sitting around. You have a couple of weird conversations. The fucking creepy Lannister guy comes up there.
Guy is such a fucking twat.
Classic Lannister, though. And just thinking that like he is related to all of them is like awesome. It's like perfect.
And I love just the fact that every Game of Thrones fan, you know, as soon as they come in and it's a wedding scene, everybody's just like, oh, shit. Like, you know what I mean? There's supposed to be like this joyous occasion.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
It's either like, oh, shit. Here we go. Or you just go like, oh, no. Like, you're just like, you know, like, this is going to be bad. And it was.
The moment that you really thought it was going to get bad was when Daemon strolls in. So he's a little bit late and he kind of walks in and you're like, all right, what is his relationship going to be with everybody in there? Like, what does his brother think? What does his niece think? There's already rumors circulating about the two. He's a wild card and he has been the entire show. Like, and so you're like, all right, this is probably where shit's going to hit the fan. Then Alicent shows up late and they kind of make it very clear in the episode, but she's wearing green, which apparently is the Hightower house signal for war.
And you're like, the flame that they used to signal to war is green.
And so I guess I would just ask, who is she doing this versus?
It's Rhaenyra. Well,
with Rhaenyra, exactly. It's her alert to her family that be prepared, we're going to take this throne.
And she refers to her, I believe for the first time, Shyam, if correct me if I'm wrong, as stepdaughter.
Yep. She drops a stepdaughter.
Not my friend. Yeah. You're not my friend anymore. Like, exactly. You're my stepdaughter.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
She's out for it. So, and then Sir Gerald, right? So Sir Gerald was a character that we saw come over with the Valyrians, and he is Laenor's, like, in hiding secret boyfriend. And
that's Joffrey.
Oh, why did I write Gerald? So
Gerald, Gerald was Rhaenyra Gerald's Royce's the other cousin.
Guy. Yeah.
Oh no, so Gerald's the one that called out Daemon on behalf of Runestone. All right.
And what a fucking big dick move he did on him too. He's like, "What about my inheritance? That's coming to me. I'll see you at that meeting, pal."
Yeah. Now Daemon is such a badass.
Cold.
Daemon's cold. Yeah, because he just was like, he wanted to fight him like on behalf of all of Runestone.
Yeah, let's go. Like, I own that now.
Yeah, basically, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I meant to ask you. So that place you want to fight me? Yeah, I own that now.
Yeah. He's like, we didn't have any kids, and so it was going to go to her. So now it goes to me. You're like, oh. Right. Yeah, so that was a good little back and forth with Gerald. Also, Daemon, and this is probably going to play out very much going forward, but he chats up the Valyrian girl. So Daemon's making moves here as well.
Right now, and no pun intended, but like any port in the storm, because he makes a run at Rhaenyra, he makes a run at her. Yep. Like, he's really making it known that like he's on the market again.
Well, he sure is. Yep. And how about when he's just like, when people bring up his wife too, and he's just like,
yeah, really bummed out. Damn shame.
That was somebody saying, "Oh yeah, I'm really broken up about it."
Yeah, it stinks. Really stinks.
All right, so handsome gal she was.
So Laenor,
not much of a horse rider.
No, she wasn't. Laenor's boyfriend is Joffrey.
Yeah, Joffrey, the Knight of Kisses.
The Knight
Joffrey
of Kisses. Lonmouth.
The Knight of Kisses. Well, he's not gonna have to worry about that anymore. He.
But I love the look that like Kristen gives me. I don't know how I got that name. Who like? Okay, guy. Yeah. Like, all right, guy.
So he. Gotta go back to work. But he sort of sniffs out early on in the episode, which I think is pretty cool. So. Rhaenyra and Laenor have like an agreement because Rhaenyra they've grown up together. She knows them. She's like, I know you're not interested in this. And she's like, frankly, I'm not interested in you. So like,
and that was a very, by the way, we do need to mention that was a very clever way of doing the very clever conversation that they had.
I didn't pick up on it at first. I was like,
and that's why it worked.
Talking about the more
they talked about it, you're like, okay.
I didn't get it until Rhaenys was talking to Corlys, and I'm like, okay, now I understand what they're talking about.
So I liked it. I don't like duck. And the way I picked up on it, which is like, I don't like duck, and I don't know why. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, mm-hmm. I get it. And I'm like, I see what they're doing here. Okay.
But like, what a, and they talked about this in the post episode thing, but like, so ahead of its time, where like before everybody would just sort of like, this is how we have to do things, and these families do this thing, and blah, blah, blah. And you're forced into these relationships or whatever. And it's something that, you know, even Daemon had taught Rhaenyra before, was like, all right, we're gonna get married, we're gonna put the houses together, but guess what? Go live your life, right? Like, I'm not gonna make you be miserable, you're not gonna make me be miserable. So they really have an interesting kind of partnership here going on. However, we'll see how that all plays out, because he's happy he has his boyfriend, and his boyfriend was smart enough to realize that he's like, all right, well, if Rhaenyra's gonna make that deal and she knows you have me, she has somebody, we got to figure out who that is. And he sniffs out that it's Sir Criston Cole, not realizing how guilty Christian Cole feels about it. So he goes up to him thinking that he's very clever and talks to him at the wedding. And it's just like, I know what's going on. I'm like, And at the time, I didn't realize what it was going to lead to.
Well, so it's
crowds,
it's
really, man. Fuck crowds.
It's really weird, because like the last thing you see is Viserys getting pissed because he sees Daemon's hand on Rhaenyra's face. And then all of a sudden they go into a crowd and people start freaking out.
Start freaking the fuck out. And then so you end up seeing Criston Cole beating the absolute brakes off of Joffrey, just punching the face into the ground. And just that guy is unrecognizable. So just a massacre there on
the dance floor by the time he's done with him. And I love how they like he's facing the camera and then he kind of like turns his face away and you can see like all the like the skin and everything. But one of the things that I you didn't immediately know.
No.
Like what was going on?
My first thought was, oh, is he fighting Damon? Like, right. Because Damon like had the hand on Rhaenyra. So I'm like, oh, is somebody fighting Damon for putting their hand on the princess?
And it could have been Laenor. It could have been anybody. So yeah. You didn't know. Or it could have been that, who's that other beefy guy who was with, he wound up stepping in and like punching.
Oh, Harwin. Him. So yeah. Harwin. And so that's how you know too, that the three strongs are all working together, because Lionel from the, like the table with the king looks at his sons, just gives him a nod, and Harwin starts beating the shit out of people and picks up Rhaenyra and walks out.
He gives her like, he gives him like the click.
Yeah.
Click.
He's supposed to be like the best knight in the land, by the way.
That guy seemed like a hoss. I'm like, we need more of this guy. Okay.
He's a dude. He's a hoss.
I'll take that guy on my team any day. So what do you think Rhaenyra's reaction is going to be to this?
That like, I mean, this is her choice. I mean, this is she, her and Kristen have this whole conversation on the boat where she's like, I am the crown. And now I think she finally realizes that like, well, shit.
But it's like
this is, she, they do be like that sometimes.
I think it also do be like that. She also probably realized that, all right, clearly can't get what you want, because it seemed like they had a good agreement. Seemed like they were going to be married. They were going to rule the kingdoms. And then they each had their own side piece. But the one side piece isn't happy being a side piece. And then he's afraid that the other one knows about it. And he's like, nobody can know about it. Like, nobody. Like, I don't trust you. So then he kills that guy. So now you got to figure Laenor's probably not going to trust Rhaenyra anymore, I wouldn't think.
Well, I mean, he's got to know. She had nothing to do with that. But, I mean.
A little bit, though.
A little bit. I mean, but what's his name? The Knight of Kisses there should have kept his.
But, yeah, I don't think Laenor will be pissed at Rhaenyra though. Like, she wouldn't, like, they clearly were gonna have this deal. I don't think she would then go and have her husband's lover murdered.
But can Kristen Cole still be her bodyguard?
No, and I don't think he will be. I think he will be part of the King's Guard, but be more assigned to the Queen now.
Didn't they show him in the preview he's in jail?
Oh, I don't know.
They might put him in jail briefly for fucking killing someone.
He killed somebody in front of everybody. But
then what's her name? So then Alicent stops him from,
he's about to kill himself.
He's going full samurai, and she stops.
Yeah, I was just about to say, what is that? Not Sudoku, but
Harikiri.
Harikiri. Right in front of the tree with the face on it. He's like, I am going to lay down on this
committee. Seppuku.
Seppuku. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
And Alicent steps in there, stops Cole from killing himself, and then they end up doing a shotgun wedding. And it's funny because they even made a point to be like, oh, if this is just like the pre-wedding, like the main wedding is going to be fucking crazy. And you're like, nope.
Nope.
Not when you have somebody die at the pre-show. So Rhaenyra marries Laenor in like a shotgun wedding, and then fucking King Viserys passes out again. Like, he's had enough. He had a long day. He's done with it.
He is turning into the Blob from X-Men.
Yep, 100%. He's on the beach, the senator or whatever. He's got melting. There.
The guy's literally melting.
It's falling apart. But yeah, I'm curious how this is. So we also see a preview for what's to come. And obviously we've mentioned the 10-year time jump already, but it looks like Rhaenyra is going to have a bunch of kids. And it's, my guess is they're all going to be Sir Christian Cole's kids. Is that fair? Because there's a line in there where Allison's like, yeah, it's one thing if like one of the kids doesn't like look like fucking Laenor, but like all three of them, like that's just like a slap in the face.
See, I thought she was talking to Viserys.
I thought so too. So I thought she was talking to Viserys, but I don't know who she's talking about.
So there's
one kid who's got, he's got two blonde kids and one brown hair, like a couple brown haired kids.
Wait, Viserys has brown hair? Uh-huh. Kids?
I thought she was talking to him, and she's saying to him, like, one of these is an accident, three's an insult. Like, three, you're just rubbing it in my face. I thought she was talking to him.
Who's he having kids with, though?
Hooers.
Oh, so
she ain't bagging him anymore.
So this is my thought, and I don't know, and Shyam, I don't know if it's in the book, and I don't know if I even want you
to tell me. I'm trying to...
Yeah, you're not going to. Don't spoil anything, obviously. I think Rhaenyra has kids with Sir Criston Cole, but she keeps saying they're Laenor Valyrians. And people who really know are like, well, these two aren't even actually sleeping together. So how does she have all these kids? And none of them fucking because they both have white hair. So if they have three kids that don't have white hair, what the fuck's going on?
Wouldn't one of them be like part black? Like,
yeah.
I think that would be pretty easy to identify.
Well, but you could be like, oh, well, it takes after the mother more, I guess. So that's my, I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe I misread it. I don't know if there was, I didn't like go back and rewatch it. I just, that was the one preview for next episode. But you get Olivia Cooke, who I love. She's playing Allison. I think she's going to be great going forward.
And the other actress I don't recognize.
She was in, what's the show? Remember the show with, I think it was on Amazon Prime, and they were like ghost hunters or whatever.
Oh,
was,
paranormal? Was no, the
Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, I forget. Oh, fuck. I know the show. Truth Seekers.
Truth Seekers.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Emma D'Arcy. So Emma D'Arcy and Olivia Cooke are going to come play Rhaenyra and Allison. So anyway, pretty pumped. Any other thoughts on this episode or thoughts on future episodes?
Just a great episode here.
Yep, if this episode doesn't get you hooked, you're not going to get hooked.
Then you're out.
Basically where I'm at. Right. Yeah. If you're not in after this episode, you're out. And that's okay. You go do your own thing. I'm going to eat this up like a kid with candy.
All right. Very good. Shime, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. No episode next week, but we'll talk to you probably in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good, boys. Enjoy.
All right, Shimer. Thank you.
Give him hell out there, Shime. Thank you very much.
Well, what's going on next week?
Oh, just another baby.
Just another kid. Yep. Just going to man to man. No more zone parenting.
Good luck. Yep.
Yeah.
The best I can with what I can. All right, Ryan. Let's get to this then.
Pick of the bomb.
All right. Would you like to kick, receive, defer, or you may choose at this time to defend a goal?
I will receive because this is something I brought up last week, and I told the people of our listenership that I would be doing this. So I did pick up Metal Hellsinger, and I will tell you this, Richard, it is not a perfect game, but God damn it, is it perfect for me. I have a blast like playing this game. So the fucking soundtrack is so metal. The story's fine, but like Troy Baker does a voice, he does the voice of like your skull companion there. So he's like narrating the whole thing. The story's kind of meh but it's just so much fun. And like the more the multiplier it's actually, if you listen to it with headphones, like the music builds like as you start. And then once you hit like the highest multiplier, like the vocals kick in, and it's got like the girl who sings for a band called Arch Enemy, who's like one of the best female metal singers I've ever heard. It's got Serj Tankian. It's got like all these like cool metal bands. It's awesome. So I'd give it a 5 out of 6. It's fireballs. It's not laser beams. I know it's not the perfect game.
All right, very good. I don't have it.
I was waiting for you to hit it.
Ah, laser beam! It's better than fireballs, you pussy.
Well, it's not laser beams, but it is certainly fireballs. So if you're into metal music and shooters, fucking pick it up.
Very good. All right, I got two things quick. One, if you're into those documentaries about just terrible stories but are really well done, Sins of Our Mother. Did you watch this?
I can't. You and Mac, both you and Mac in our group text said that you had to drink after you watched it. I am in no headspace to watch this.
No, and like there are plenty of people, like my wife's one of those people that's like, I'm not gonna fucking watch that. I'm like, get it. I completely get it. But the story is crazy. And apparently it was in like national news, but like I don't watch a lot of those like Datelines or Good Morning America's even. Yes. I guess all these different shows talked about it from like a few years ago. So I had no idea. I went into it not knowing anything.
This was like the thing, it was that people like don't fuck with cats. Like I didn't watch that either.
Oh, I watched that. That was intense. That was intense. But this is crazy, this story. But I just am always blown away by the good documentaries, like of all the footage they get. So they get like all of like the police cams. They get like the confessions or whatever, the interrogations. They get phone calls from prison. Like they get everything, and they interview all the important people that are involved in it. So it's only 3 episodes. It's like 50 minutes, 40 minutes. So I ripped through it in one.
It's like
night.
the one they just did with the kid who killed his dad. I just killed my dad.
Yeah, so that
I think what did it, and I think you've seen this movie too, the movie Dear Zachary.
I don't think I remember you telling me about it. Yeah, I think you told me about it. I have not seen it.
This movie will just absolutely crush your soul. And if you've ever seen Dear Zachary, you would understand where I'm like, you know what, I don't have it in me.
Don't blame me.
Do that again. Yeah.
All right, I have a recommendation that you would be interested in.
Hit me, baby.
a comic book. Yep. So you can get it at your local comic book shop, or it's also on the Hoopla site. And this is a recommendation from the TLDR guys, Dr. Joe and Nick Fryer, The Good Asian. It is, that's the name of the book, The Good Asian. It's 2 volumes, 10 issues total. It's a noir. I know you're like a nice
I love that. Like, yes. I think it's
like 1930s San Francisco, about like a Chinese American police officer,
and hard-boiled detective. I'm looking at it right now. Looks like that.
It's good. It's
sounds like he says, yeah, see, like he says, you get that voice, you know.
It's good. So check that one out.
Yeah. Why aren't you a pocket full of firecrackers?
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that. next week, no episode. We'll be TBD. You have any?
We'll have another dork family member at that point.
It's right between the two of us now. It'll be 4 girls.
I know. And guess what? I got a new pet. You haven't seen him. I'll bring him out next time.
Oh, what did you get? Oh, I saw the. Actually, you know what? I think I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah. And not what you would expect. This thing literally almost fell into my lap. This is a 5-year-old Russian tortoise. I have now a pet turtle. Well, it's a tortoise, but my daughters love it. You know what my daughters named him?
Well,
Korg.
Excellent name.
Because he looks like he's made of rocks. That's what they said.
That is an excellent name.
Yep.
So what does Korg do? Where is he at right now?
He sits on my daughter's lap and watches TV. He has a little heat lamp that he gets at night. He has two lamps, one for night, one day. He's the best pet ever. He does is eat lettuce, and he just does make a noise. He's great.
He sneaks up to this big.
It's a turtle. Yeah. Or is it a tortoise?
It's a tortoise.
How big is he going to get?
5 to 6 inches. Like long. So he's going to get like this big. He's little right now. He's only 5 years old. But the thing that's fucked is this thing could outlive me.
Oh yeah, I saw what the fuck it was on Twitter. It was like 180, 190 year old turtle or whatever. They're like,
yeah. So this thing could. These things typically live to like 50 or 60. It's gonna outlive me.
Oh my god! So like your kids could take them to college and take them beyond college.
Well, that was my older daughter. I was like, when you move out, like he's going with you. You know that, right? God. Like
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, hey,
I'll bring him on next time. We'll say hello.
Good stuff. Yeah, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Leave a review on the Apple Podcasts, wherever you get it. And so I think we'll be back in 2 weeks. If not, fear not. Maybe we'll be back in 3 weeks. I'll figure out when we're going to do it. And then next thing you know, Rod, it's going to be Dorktober 7. So spread it on.
Baby sleep a lot. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So there's another one running around the house, too.
I know. That one can move and talk.
So. That one's quick. That one's fast. You don't give a shit about anything, do you?
What's that?
I said you don't give a shit about anything, do you?
Not really.